Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. This is Soul Purpose Healing. Thank you for joining me this beautiful rainy day in Orlando, Florida. I hope the weather is pleasant in your part of the earth. My name is Viata. I'm your host today. We have an exciting guest lined up today. He is on hold right now waiting to chime in. And I want to thank all of you listeners for being faithful and tuning in. Today our topic is spiritual redemption. We're talking spiritual redemption, and Minister Gabrielle M. Lack is going to come on in just a few minutes to share his journey and his ministry, his mission, and his truth, which is our truth. If we receive it, it's our truth. But before we get into our guest today, I just want to give a little health tip today. I've been hearing so much this week about vaccinations. I was listening to a program earlier today from an expert who does lots of research on vaccinations, and we are seeing more and more children developing mumps and chicken pox. And just all kinds of sicknesses in children. I have relatives who are in Atlanta. Their children have been sick coming home from school. And you're going to see more and more of this from children who are being vaccinated. Parents who are choosing to let the medical system put poison, what it amounts to is poison, in their child's veins. Their children are going to react, and their children are going to speak to them about those poisons. And so my advice to you is to educate before you vaccinate. Educate yourself before you vaccinate. All these children, or the majority of the children who are being diagnosed today with the mumps and the measles and the chicken pox, have all been vaccinated. They are finding the same retroviruses from polio and all of these other vaccinations in the blood of these children when they test them. And so what is happening, they're getting the particles of other viruses that are coming from the vaccinations in their blood. So this is just a tip for parents out there to please, please, please be conscious. Wake up and consider more than once whether you want doctors to inject some foreign objects like pig's blood and aborted fetal tissue, aluminum, mercury. That's just a few of the chemicals that are in these vaccinations. And more they're reporting an outbreak where the majority of the children who have the outbreak are not those who haven't been vaccinated, but the ones who have been vaccinated. And so your children, if you choose not to vaccinate them, they're the ones at risk of catching the viruses from those children who have been vaccinated. So please, please educate yourself before you vaccinate. So that's the health tip today. It's a very prominent one. It's all over the news. Everything I read, I'm reading vaccinations. So please, just take note and be wise. We are here today to raise your consciousness. The Tree of Life reality is about spheres and circles within you, within your body, a vessel that has been created for the glory of our Creator, Yahuwah. This Tree of Life is a visual representation of a path to Yahuwah, a return to our Creator, a return to the universe which we mirror on this earth. We are a microcosm of the universe. And the Tree of Life helps us to ascend when we are conscious that this vessel we live in is so important and so valuable and so precious then we don't do certain things to this vessel. We become more conscious, we become wiser, and we become full of understanding. So I am joined today, I'm so thankful to be joined today by Minister Gabri Amlek. He is also known as Baba G, and he is the author of The African American's Role in America's Spiritual Destiny, and another book titled The Superior Aspects of Women. And I know you women out there need to pay attention, because he's going to build you up today. And he is also the co-producer of a recently released CD, Spiritual Redemption. It's a conscious rap CD series, which I've been listening to all day today and being totally enlightened and inspired by this CD. It's a beautiful, creative project that Gabri or Baba G has put together to enlighten us, to educate us, and we're going to give you information later on how you can download a copy of this CD. So let me bring Baba G on. Let's see if I can get him on. Baba G, welcome.
Yes, shalom, shalom. How are you today? Great. I'm so glad to be with you and your family of listeners. You know,
thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you. Good evening, my adventuresome brother. You are on an adventure, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I really am. Even before I knew I was on an adventure. I was on a mission before I knew I was on a mission.
Isn't that the truth? Before you even entered your mother's womb, you had a mission, right?
Thank you. But I didn't know for quite some time, even when I emerged, that I was on a mission, but the higher forces did.
Yes. Isn't that part of the journey, that we become more conscious of the mission, even though we start out not having a clue?
Right.
But
right.
Let us begin by asking, what inspired you to embark on this long journey from Harlem to the Himalayas, and did you have any idea where your search for truth was actually going to take you?
No, you know, really, it was at first a desperate, unconscious attempt to preserve my sanity and to avoid the pit of despair that my dad, the siblings, had fallen into. That was really the primary factor that inspired me to search for spiritual enlightenment.
Okay.
I was looking for a way to deal with and rise above the horrendous events and circumstances that claimed the lives of my father and seven of my siblings through drugs, through murder, through suicide. My dad was a very talented but frustrated individual who had these 10 children, which I always think was keep my mother pregnant, okay, so she would stay with him. But he also had a condition, like a hyper low blood sugar condition that many people have that resulted in him drinking a lot.
Oh,
and
my.
So the whole vicious, cruel kind of energy, a lot of beating and kicking. You know how many of our people have passed on, even though they didn't like it, the same treatment that the slave master laid on us.
Right.
And so that was exactly how my dad carried out his brutal treatment, abusive treatment. And
yeah.
So,
well, not just in behavior, but we took on the diet. You're so right. The relationships, the diet, everything we took on from the slave master, and we were unconsciously continuing in this behavior, as you have observed and so intelligently remarked right now.
And so there was 12 of us. And,
12.
Now there's 3 left. My father got murdered when I was 12 years old. Of course, we weren't very sad about that because of the severe abuse. But he got somebody dished out to him what they saw him doing to us, And when he came home one night, they had beat his head into the ground. And he may have been able to help. You know, we took him to Harlem Hospital, which is where I grew up. But he, you know, the poor treatment and lack of attention, so he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of my brothers and sisters, because in the early, middle 50s, heroin was just making its entrance into Harlem, which when I was born was actually the cultural capital of the world. My dad was a very powerful singer, a tap dancer, but he had St. Vitus dance, which was a spasmodic convulsions of the nervous system. So
mm-hmm.
we had to stop singing. But I grew up around, you know, Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and all these people because they were my dad's friends.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so he died. And then the little by little, my brothers and sisters, because of the brutal treatment, had gotten addicted to drugs. You know, my older brother was a heroin addict. He didn't die until later on. But my next year, my dad's first son was an alcoholic. Four of my brothers and sisters actually did the drug suicide trip. And most of my funerals, as I grew up or grew into the ministry, I perfected and learned how to do funerals on my family.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so that I was kind
as
of intense.
As a pastor, so you were saying the prayers at the funeral.
I was the pastor. Yeah, I was the pastor because I didn't really want. I wanted my mother to see one of us standing up while the rest was laying up. So even though I would have to turn the funeral, you know, smoked up on herb, I did the funerals, and so in all of them, all the cases, every instance. So that is actually what got me involved in these in the ministry. Well, not in the ministry, but in the teachings.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go the same way, and I knew that I would have been overwhelmed by those trials and tribulations if I had not did something to raise my consciousness.
Now, did your family attend any churches at all?
Yeah, I actually went to Catholic school. My dad was very, in his own way, a very devout Catholic, whatever that was worth. It didn't seem to help too much. Yeah. My mom was kind of cool, you know, but my dad was on his knees, sprinkling holy water around the house in between beatings, okay?
Oh, my.
So that was my introduction to Christianity. And I was in the church. I was an altar boy. And really had a deep impression on me. And as a matter of fact, I only left the church in my teens. Part of it was we couldn't afford for us to go to Catholic school anymore, which I later on returned when I grew to understand the metaphysical, esoteric aspect of Christianity. And what was behind the whole fairy tale, okay?
So where did you first started being awakened to that reality of metaphysics and Christianity?
Well, what happened was I was a nightclub singer early on. That was my first dream, and I was doing professional work, you know, in the various nightclubs. Mentioned by a lot of the jazz greats, and so that was my focus. And my initial introduction to the wisdom of the ancients came through the owner of this local huge sign stand in Harlem, he gave me a copy of the Prophet. One day I was there getting my tuxedo fitted next door for a gig I was doing. And he gave me this book of the Prophet. And the Prophet is actually one of the first books that got me into scriptures, not just Christian scriptures, but the scriptures, period.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to introducing me to the Bible, the Sufi teachings, and the Yoruba teachings, But what actually got me, caught me, was the metaphysical approach.
Mm-hmm.
The exposure to the prophet and other religious groups eventually led me to an unexpected meeting with my first spiritual mentor, incidentally, who was a Floridian, Bishop James P. Moody. He was the metaphysical minister who instilled in me a deep respect for the wisdom of the elders. And so I have to acknowledge, but if it were not for the grace of God, I definitely would not have been spared the same pitfalls that my brothers and sisters were into. In those instances where I thought I was going to go over the edge, something always came to my rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that, of course, in the first song, but for the grace of God. Most of us can relate to something in our life experience that encouraged us, took us beyond the point of despair, because not many people go to God because of the beauty. Most folks go because they're suffering. And so that is the first song, and in the rap, I'm now explaining a little about that. One of my students, who actually was the producer on this album,
mm-hmm.
he suggested that Brother Amari Winfrey, Anthony Winfrey, he suggested that I do a rap album because we were talking about how the decline, you know, the vulgarity in what was once a very powerful art form. Rapping, spoken
mm-hmm.
word. So
right.
He suggested that I put together an album. And so the first song, But For the Grace, goes into the things that saved me. I was gangbanging in Harlem, and that eventually led me, when I saw the narrow escape that I had came through, one day I was playing Russian roulette, the gun went off in my leg. I shot this brother in a gang fight in his head, but it went through his ear. So, you know, I understand that, but for the grace of God, it might have went through his brain. I might have did the Russian roulette on my at a vital part of my body when the gun went off. You see what I'm saying?
And yeah,
so
oh,
these,
sure.
Right, so these are the near-death experiences. I had a near-death bout with tuberculosis when I was born, as a child. And if my grandmother, who was a chef cook, her Jewish employers did not send me out to Denver, Colorado, I probably would have died.
Let's listen to a little bit of the first song on, or the first musical creation, I like to call it, on Baba G and the Book of Life, But For the Grace. It's a testimony that we all know, the grace of our Creator pulls us through, keeps us alive, and here we are today to tell about it. And in this case, here he is to rap about it. So listen up a little to But For the Grace.
Shane was the name that won me fame in the inner city where I played the gangster game. With Moses Powell walking by my side, we patrolled the streets of Harlem with dignity and pride. If the bird I fired had went through his head, the robber gang member could have been dead, and this poem would never have been written or read. The homie's ear made it clear, but for the grace of God, he might not be here. When the word got around about what went down, we smoked weed, drank wine in the polar grounds. Gangster stories and gang-banging glories evaporate with the smoke. When you realize the loss of a loved one is definitely not a laughing joke. But we couldn't even fake crocodile tears when Dad was beat to death at 42 years. No longer had to fear being stumped into the floor if we didn't hear drunken fists pounding on the door. In the scriptures we're told, foe shall be of our own household. Relatives can be, so you see, past life enemies. Before we throw a pity party, drown ourselves in pain, remember the rules of the karmic game. The seventh child, they say, is blessed in every way. I'm afraid to see what my fate would be if my number was the same as those who came before or maybe after me. I walk by faith, not by sight, through many a long and sleepless night. Had to stay awake, couldn't close my eyes. Overdose siblings might fall asleep and die. Giving last rites is a minister's task. With relatives, the challenge is hard to surpass. My name, the coroner, didn't even have to ask. A friendship I wish had never come to pass. The 11 died before my eyes.
So that's a beautiful poem, I think, of your journey in the beginning. But I love the idea that you begin to understand karmic law, karmic reality. So your bottom line becomes no one's a victim, right? Are you there? Baba G? Did we lose Baba G? Hold on. Is Baba G there? Baba G? Baba G, you there?
Hello, Yassin?
Yes. Did we lose you?
Yes, ma'am, but I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back.
Well, I was just saying that is a beautiful poem of your early journey. And we got a little vibration. But are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here with you.
Okay, and I love the idea that you learned from all that drama, all those trials and challenges and circumstances, that there's a karmic law. Out of all that, you say in the poem that the karmic reality show came up. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that helps a lot. And I actually first heard about that when I was, I was reading. I used to borrow some esoteric, some books on the metaphysical teachings, and of course, I just borrowed them. The store owner didn't always know I was borrowing them, but I always took them back. Okay. And my initial understanding of the teachings, the major things that I got from the teachings was the information on karma. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And reincarnation. Those were the two things that I extracted more than anything else, from my studies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The understanding that what goes around comes around. And so
right.
It took me out of that self-pity consciousness and helped me to put things into perspective, because you understand that when so many people close to you are meeting with these tragedies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then, goodness gracious, it would be kind of very challenging.
Yes. Yes. And
so
there's so many of our, when you share this CD, that's why I want to share this CD with friends and especially Christians, because I have so many Christian friends who don't relate to karma and they don't relate to reincarnation. But in your journey, how did you start getting introduced to reincarnation? Are you there? I think Baba G has dropped again.
You just said, how did I get into the consciousness of reincarnation?
Oh, yes, because you mentioned that all throughout this, after the trauma, you started waking up, and so many of our Christian friends don't even believe that there is such thing as reincarnation, that's for the Eastern religions, and it's not for Christians. It's not in the Bible even.
But you know, the very interesting thing is that it is in the Bible. They say that, for one example that I talk about in the genetic perspective is in John chapter 9, I believe it is, where it says, was this man born blind because of his sins or his parents' sins?
The problem is that most of our pastors, well, with all due respect, have been so conditioned to by the traditional Orthodox interpretation. There's another, there's several places. Then John the Baptist was considered to be a reincarnation of Elijah's who was for to come. And so it's there. We just don't, we just are not taught it that way. But what happened
Why do you
with
think
me
it's
was,
important? Why do you think it's so important that we understand that these days?
Because one of the major problems, well, several, one, but one of the major problems is that we are blaming God for situations that we ourselves have ordained by our past, live by the sword, die by the sword. So we don't really understand, or we might think that God plays favors. This person has all this talent and another person has none developed. It's because the person with all the talent was taking care of business in other lifetimes.
Well, not even blaming the creator, but blaming the devil. How many times do we hear, oh, the devil made me do it?
Right. And it's not that they are not negative entities encouraging, but we have the wherewithal to take the high road. So that the problem that we have with the reincarnation and other is that and other spiritual laws and principles is that we don't have clarity, so we need to really be able to trace. Stop blaming God or the devil, and understand that no, I'm not punished for my sins. I'm punished by my sins, by my missing the mark. So the onus is on me.
So it's about choices. We're punished by our choices, and your CD is here to wake us up. And from my listening to it, much of what your poetry is saying is wake up and make different choices, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Yes, that's it. Go ahead.
So the next song, I really enjoyed it, The Genetic Perspective. Talks about our ancestors. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. The next exposure to the prophet and like I said, piqued my interest in the scriptures along with the met with Bishop James P. Moody, because Bishop Moody instilled in us as students a deep respect for the wisdom of our ancestors and elders.
Mm-hmm.
So the Genetic Perspective is a dedication to Bishop Moody, who saw my potential and other elders when I didn't even think I had anything to offer. And the elders' presence and guidance actually brought about a turning point in my confused, pain-ridden existence. So this one was dedicated because you have a lot of young people saying nowadays that they'll say, well, the elders have to earn respect. And this song, this poem reminds us that the respect that we should give to our elders and ancestors is for the genetic resources that we inherit at birth or cultural resources. Because if Nat Cole and Maria Cole didn't sing, Nat Cole wouldn't have had the genes. My dad was a singer. Amongst other things, I wouldn't have had the genes. So we really need to understand. We need a lot of education. That's why your program is so great, programs like yours, because we need some authentic rites of passage information. And so the Genetic Perspective goes into all of that and gives a real clear understanding of why we should respect our elders from Jump Street, as we say.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to Genetic Perspective by Baba G from the Book of Life.
The genetic perspective is a directive to respect elders receive for resources created before we came to pass on when we leave. It's the genes we're given through which we express the special talents we possess, the ancestors' blessings of our success. To honor our parents is the way we say, thank you for gifts we can never repay. If only this body in which I live it must be the present you were destined to give. Was he born blind for his sins? Disciples of Jesus said. So you see, before the first breath, your story was written in red. The bumps and knocks along the road you may not want to own. It matters not. It's the fruits of what you alone have sown. The racial pride and dreams that drive us to a higher sphere. Are they because the elders care, if only with a prayer? When young folks say in their naive way, respect for elders must be earned, pray, dear Lord, help them grow, so one day they will learn to honor the price already paid in sacrifices that we made. If you listen to the chimes of the times, surely you will hear them say, we have no use for people whose hair has turned to gray. So step aside, move along, you're getting in my way. Deeds performed early on were often grand and stately. With all due respect, what have you done for me lately?
I just am grateful for that reminder that we have spirits, we have souls that are with us now who were here. And even when we look in Scripture, we can go back to Abraham and the ancestors in the Scriptures as also influencing where we are today, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Oh, you mean influencing us from the other side?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, and a lot, and it's interesting because a lot of the directions we get or the inspirations we get are actually our ancestors, our elders on the other side, our angels, so to speak, directing us. You know, where we thinking that is of our own volition. Oh, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is another reminder of this metaphysical existence on Earth that so many people are missing because they're looking at the outside world and not understanding this microcosm of the big universe, which is full of ancestral energy and love and compassion. So thank you for writing that poetry. That's powerful. When people get that whole CD, they can really meditate on these words and be renewed in their soul. This is what we're all about on this show, is renewing your soul so that we line up with the tree of life and the Kabbalah influence that is with us today. We just, once we become aware of it, we can really grow.
And see, perhaps not your listeners, but many people are very spooked up about things like metaphysics, which the word only means, as you know, a study of the underlying laws and principles. The Kabbalah just means a means of receiving information from the cosmos through meditation on symbols and pictures and icons. So it's really much simpler than many people think it is.
Right.
So and makes them feel intimidated. What I also was exposed to early on by Bishop James P. Moody is the teachings of the Masters of the Far East.
Mm-hmm.
This was written in several volumes by Spalding, written in several volumes. And this was a vital part of our ministerial training in his organization, the Mission of Divine Research. It was from this source that I first heard, but I wasn't ready to heed information on the role of sex and the importance of conservation in spiritual development. And so what I came to understand in dealing with him is that someone who is on the spiritual path and try to open up their higher spiritual senses has to have a regard for the spiritual energies. For example, most men don't realize that one drop of semen is worth 40 drops of blood. and that that men are actually depleting their energies in the way that we are conditioned, encouraged to practice the whole sexual embrace. And so the purpose of this song, also the next Don't Play House, was I also put it together inspired by, you remember a few months back, this young lady stabbed her mate about 40 or 50 times. I forgot her name. She was out in, I don't know where she, South Carolina, somewhere. You might remember. She was all over the news. And
well, we have so many of those stories lately.
Right. So what happened is, even, of course, that was not the right thing to do, but no one, not one person did I hear say talk about the fact that the young man who was killed in that brutal way didn't think twice about having sex with her and just kicking her to the curb. And so that brought to my mind, don't play house if you can't move in. We have to learn how to stop playing with sex and people's emotions. Not only that, but we take on a person's karma. So, you know, you see people who have had 2 and 3 children, and they're still relating, identifying this person as a friend. Instead of understanding in this age of forensic science that a person who you sleep with or even kiss and exchange fluids with, you're exchanging DNA. So you actually, as the scriptures say, Adam knew Eve, they became one flesh. So this particular song, Don't Play House, is probably more important than most of the rest from the point of view of deep influence that we take on.
Yes, okay, I agree. Okay,
and
listen.
Thing,
go ahead.
And the other thing we're doing is we're suffering from what I have deemed the nullification of our cultural consciousness, because there's many things that people of color did not do but adopted from our Caucasian brothers and sisters who don't have the same level of maturity on the planet. And this is one of our big problems. And one of them is throwing around the, you know, taking a real light attitude towards the whole sexual embrace. And so this song, Don't Play House If You Can't Move In.
This okay, song. Let's take a listen to Don't Play House, Baba G and the Book of Life.
Karma sin, messing around, bring pain and strife. This strong pusher might push your life. When you make love and kick people to the curb, the problems you create are the ones you deserve. You should have thought twice before you jumped in. Look before you leap if you really want to win. Adam knew Eve and Cain once best. Sex binds two souls in a karmic mesh. Do you want to mate or do you want to date? You need to get it straight because you're dealing with your fate. Follow the lead of movie stars and autograph your heart with painful scars. Hollywood doesn't make spiritual laws. Academy Awards won't erase your flaws. When you bring your life on fantasy, the full truth will bring you back to reality. A fact of life most don't know. The more men come, the faster they go. You want to know what happened to Samson's strength? Delilah is the one that changed the way it went. 40 drops of blood make 1 drop of sperm. Can you hear me now? When will we learn? Hang your head low in disgrace when you waste your precious seed in someone's face. At the top of Mr. Ignorant with 2 list, you guys giving up a life force for a little bliss. If you think it's time to break the contracts and escape the rhythm of the matrix dance, searching through your finer rhythm, true romance, where the beating of your lover's heart is fine, you can make a start at a place in consciousness you never thought you could possess. Captured by the magic of her beautiful eyes, safe in the arms of an angel's thighs, a new you is born healthy, wealthy, and wise. Captured by the magic of her beautiful eyes, safe in the arms of an angel's thighs, a new you is born healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Now, Baba G, this is a powerful message for us, and I'm just wondering, as I was reading the summary of this song, you talk about the opening of spiritual centers or chakras in the brain and nervous system. So, how tell us a little bit how that the sex relationship, intercourse, and all that relates to the chakras and brain and nervous system development.
Right. What they explained early on in the various books on yoga and tantra and the connection with sex and spirituality is that for the most part, in our traditional approach to sex, we deplete the sexual secretions, especially on the part of the male, because much of his sexual fluids are expelled through ejaculation, and that if we examine the semen, we see that it's brain food. It comes from the brain and nervous system, and that the more and that through women, it's depleted through excessive menstruation, which are also, contain valuable hormones. And so through these two practices, and you learn, you people get to see it from their own experience rather than somebody telling them yay or nay, that most men and women, if they learn how to conserve the fluids that we just mentioned, they will see a much more rapid advancement, not only just in spiritual development, but in the way that they conserve their youth, that there is a purposeful. A lot of the pornography and the motive behind it, this whole sexual epidemic, is the underlying factor is to get us to deplete our secretions and arrest our mental and physical and spiritual development.
Wow, it just speaks once again of this awesome temple we live in and the levels of details involved. And the scriptures tell us discipline is life. Discipline is life, and just as you talk about, when men and women are more disciplined in their intimacy, then it strengthens them. It strengthens their brain, their organs, their bones even, I'm sure. One scripture, discipline is life, says a lot about our behavior and what it's doing to bring death instead of life.
And it's right there in our face. Like a lot of men go into a comatose trance after ejaculation. Men and women will see how it depletes their energies when they have excessive loss of blood during menstruation, as is commonly experienced, and which is one reason why the menses are calmed down during pregnancy, because the energy is conserved for the new birth. And there's a way in which the sexual experience can be enjoyed at a more blissful level without the men letting go, of their sexual secretions. It's just knowing it, knowing how. One of the exercises in one of the songs that I have on the album is called "How to Keep the Nookie New." It goes into how the reverence for the female body and the spiritualization of the sexual embrace brings joy and bliss and heightened awareness and longevity.
Okay, well, just for fun, let's play a little bit of that one. Okay, here we go.
By the sacred wife.
protect the treasure chest between your thighs. The tons of gold can never buy. Treat it as a precious jewel, refusing gems from toxic fools. When at last the privileged one approaches at the fragrant gate, slow him down, cool him off, let him sit a while and wait. Put cold pot on hot stove, Chinese proverb saying. Build up passion as you go, little day by day. Secret of the gender chase, only give a little taste. If he's always wanting more, you keep him knocking at your door. When you finally treat him to your blissful inner space, contract your looks as flower with gentleness and grace.
Now, I can't help but kind of smile on that one, because that's like consciousness, intimacy, relationships leading to maturity and things we don't know about in this society. And our culture, maybe, is, you know, that's more, is that more of a put the cold pot on the heat? That's an Eastern philosophy.
Oh, yeah, that's from China, because that's a Chinese scripture, and they were saying, teaching that, you know, that we dissipate. So, you know, we put a hot pot, you know, we put it on a cold stove, and so we dissipate the passion. Instead of doing the passion slowly, we start off hot and fired up. And we don't understand how in the Western world, in this European society, how to actually, what romance and love is actually all about. And particularly the art of sex, of the sexual, whole sexual scenario.
Yeah, that's what puzzles me about many people in the church system, is that they want to totally disregard Eastern philosophy and the teachings of Buddha. And yet there's so much wisdom in those teachings that we can grow and learn from, in this case especially.
Yeah, but what you're bringing to mind is that the church, as well as the current so-called educational system, were not designed to educate. They were, you know, they're designed to program. One of my best friends, brilliant brother Leon Collins, he sent me a paper a while back, explaining, reminding that, informing that the education, the educational, so-called educational system we have now was developed in the early part of the 19th century, and it was designed to prepare people for corporate America. And they deliberately said, we're going to stop educating, dealing with, you know, with the development of the mind, but deal with programming. And so all of the universities and schools are really, you know, fixed, arranged now, so that we'll be good. We'll turn out good candidates for corporate America.
But the interesting thing about that, I did a couple of shows on education and careers, is that the students and the teachers are feeling the conflict in this system, and so maybe we're going to see a big change or a big shift in the way things are done. If nothing else, people are leaving that system and doing their own thing, because these kids aren't stupid. They understand when their soul is in conflict with what programming that's being pushed forward on them, and the teachers are totally stressed. The teachers are leaving. Test scores are the focus. And anyway, we won't go into that now, but, yeah, we could learn a lot from poems like yours and all the things that are going on in our society. For instance, the drug problem. Our next song has to do with drugs conspiracy, right?
Yeah. Well, you see, but just for a second on what you said, most educators don't know what the word education means.
Yeah,
it's
true.
You know, most vocational counselors don't know what vocation means. It means to call, and we definitely this whole drug problem is probably the epitome, the highest form of ignorance in terms of the human organism and what it is designed to experience.
Mm-hmm.
We, and if we understood it, as this song explains, that then we would see that much of the drug addiction is due to our ignorance of the fact that the human organism is a bliss-oriented organism. And
mm-hmm.
that in the Christian Bible, they talk about the seven seals, the seven chakras. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And so these seven seals, seven chakras, when they're opened, they actually take us to a blissful state of existence. One of the major teachers of mine over the past 10 years, I would say, was a Mexican-American who died last year, Jose Arguelles. This awesome, awesome individual who got a lot of flack from the European community regarding 212 because he was so brilliant, 2012. And so he explains that the experience that we have, let's say you have a seven-story building and that we are only at the third story. So we're only at the third chakra. So the difference
mm-hmm.
between the bliss that we should experience and the absence is like being on the third floor or,
right.
or having a lamp that only has three frequencies instead of seven or ten. And so it's even so people who are calling their children and relatives or they're just no good, it's not that it's no good. They have not understood that this organism is designed for bliss like it's designed for protein. And the average parent, parishioner, or rather minister, teacher, does not really understand because they haven't tasted bliss themselves that this person is suffering from a spiritual malnutrition and that the person is seeking the bliss. But this goes back to what you teach, is that we're dumbing ourselves down. So when you see somebody with this big stomach sticking out, which is not a stomach, as you know, it's an inflated colon,
right.
Is that not correct? And so
right,
when you see these
right.
people saying, well, pardon me?
Yeah, that's right.
And so this so the whole social order is run by corporate America is structured, designed to dumb us down. And so when you tell somebody the person should be, that we should be able to experience bliss, that's why the Bible says, for example, fasting and pray. Because when we fast, we at least clean our systems out so we can become closer to the spiritual realities. And so the drug conspiracy explains that in depth that we have to go beyond that, that there is this conspiracy to keep us on artificial stimulus and ignore our need for euphoria. We should be high 24/7. Just off, if you ever, I'm sure you've been roared from time to time, Sister Viola, and when I'm on a roar diet, it's like I'm blissed out, just the charge of energy going through my system. Not so you don't have to go to that extreme, but that is the essence of it. And so it lets us know that the human organism, for example, we're told that one person, if they had their system really clean and pure, has the energy to light up a city. That's saying
mm-hmm.
that's the mm-hmm. force in reality. So
oh, so you said raw, you when we're on a raw diet.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, oh my goodness, it's such a high. And then for some reason you just can't maintain it. It's like when you're on a raw diet, you're on the third floor, you're on the second floor, and your perspective, you get so influenced, and you're trying to rise and rise to the seventh floor, and you're so influenced by emotional food, comfort food. And so, yeah, that's a great example. But I like what you're saying about the third, being on the third floor. It has a lot to say about our perspective. When we're on the third floor versus the seventh floor, we cannot see above the people, above the cities, and we have a lower perspective. And especially when it comes to parenting, we talked last week about conscious parenting. If the parents are on the third floor, what is that going to? How are they going to train the children to get to the seventh floor?
You see, and what's sad about this, I look at Chicagoland, I look across the globe at all of the cities and that where there's so much violence, and we know, those of us who study these teachings, that 90% of it is dietary. And
oh,
that
yeah.
if and they're telling these, like telling the child just say no to drugs and giving them sugar, sugar's a drug. The average child is calling for a fix when they're crying for some candy. Telling the child not to just say no to sex, but feeding them flesh and other aphrodisiacs is like pouring gasoline on the fire. And you know what I mean? Oh, it's just so sad. And I see these parents, you know,
yeah.
I see these parents with their children, you know, buying them candy, loading up on soda. So sometimes you just want to walk through the supermarket and just it's in tears, seeing how your harvest right there. So it is, as I say in one song this night here, it's the chemical warfare. Talk about chemical warfare being alien to American society, we're right in the midst of it.
Yes,
so every
that's
time
true.
I see someone getting high or you know, or drinking booze or whatever it is, I know right off that person is spiritually searching for spiritual nutrition. And that's the sad
starving.
Truth of it.
Okay, well, let's listen to The Drug Conspiracy, Baba G and the Book of Life. So this is not a theory, it's a reality, huh? And you say in your brochure that the challenge that parents and teachers, pastors, psychologists, it's really a village effort we have to make, is to ask how do we satisfy these divinely ordained cravings without resorting to toxic substances?
To do what you do in terms of first clean, you know, the simple task is tune up and tune in, really.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understood, it's just that. Stop dumbing our children down. A lot of women and men, well-meaning, with all due respect, are actually addicting their relatives to drugs every time they cook a pot of white rice. Every time they put some sugar in, they got a sugar bowl. You know, it almost makes me wrench when I see these sales at the supermarket for sugar. A dollar a pound, whatever it is. I know from being an ex-drug counselor in Harlem and training counselors that when the drug addict, including my brother and sisters, couldn't get their drug of choice, they would eat chunks of Domino out of the box.
Ouch. Oh, wow.
Out of the box. You hear me? And that Alcoholic Anonymous switched the drug from heroin or alcohol rather, to sugar. They have coffee with their sugar. And so
coffee with their sugar.
Yes, ma'am. Most of us consume 125 pounds of sugar a year. Okay? And it is an insidious drug. It's like a brief story with Gandhi, right? Gandhi said a woman came to him and said, "Gandhi, my son is eating sugar. Please help us." And Gandhi said, "Come back in 2 days." And then he went away. And in 2 days she came back. And Gandhi said to the child, after she walked another 15 miles getting back to him, right? And Gandhi said to the child, "Don't eat sugar." And the woman said, "Why didn't you tell me that 2 days ago?" And Gandhi said, "Because I was eating sugar myself." Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. But they even have a law now where a program in Atlanta, at least some parts of California, where they found out that young people who got busted, juvenile delinquents, almost always had a pocket full of candy. And so they made a rule that, okay, if the child would get on a low blood sugar diet, which meant no sugar, no straight sugar, that they would let them be on parole. And so, you know, it's just ridiculous to see the entrapment with the drugs, the entrapment with the so-called war on drugs. It's all a joke. You know, there is no war on drugs, and there is no real attempt to rejuvenate the young people because we're giving them the very thing that has them in trouble already.
Yeah, and they've done several research projects to show. They said some rats, cocaine and sugar, different groups of rats, and they found the rats were more addicted to the sugar than the cocaine. So I think it proves once again. I started out as a young child. My grandparents had a bowl of sugar on the table, and we put sugar on. It's interesting you mentioned the white rice. We were adding sugar to the white rice along with the butter, and that's where my addiction started, was at my grandmother's house, and it was candy, candy, candy. And to this day, I'm allergic to the stuff. When I eat white sugar, my body becomes inflamed. And so I'm just at this stage of my consciousness, I realize it's a drug, and my whole family's addicted to it. And so it's an awakening, a serious awakening, to listen to the drug conspiracy poem we just played, to really get that in your consciousness that this is a drug. I cannot convince people who are so comforted by sugar. It's a comfort thing, really, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course, and the more you see, the more people have their other senses frustrated and thwarted, the more they're liable to abuse the palate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we find it goes right in tune with people not having the satisfaction, you know, of a mate, the satisfaction of a vocation that helps them to express their unique talents and abilities, turning to sugar. And not only that, but the powers that be, who are masters at duplication or mimicking our natural cravings, they know that we are naturally fruitarians. They know that calcium, for example, is sweet. And so what's a better substitute than sugar?
Right.
It's a huge, huge industry, as we both know, that supports these addictions.
Yes, and my job on Soul Purpose Healing, as well as my work as a life coach, is to help people get to the root of their need to have comfort food, which goes back to their childhood usually. You are an exceptional case where you had a very traumatic childhood, but you had a divine hand leading you and guiding you out of eating for comfort and looking for drugs, and you are the teacher of these things. But so many people are caught up in their childhood traumas, and now they're looking for, you know, the next candy bar or apple pie, and so I feel like that's our mission, and we are partnering together to raise this consciousness as to why people are needing these drugs like sugar.
and see, what pushed me towards this path, though, it wasn't always something that I really wanted to do, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, push.
I had to do, because I knew that if I didn't do it, I was just going to keep getting spanked.
Right.
And so I said, okay, you know, all sincerity, okay, because I remember one time I was in St. Thomas, in St. Croix, in Virgin Islands, and I heard this wonderful couple next door. We're having just such a great time, you know. Because I want to say, you know, the lady with this spiritual path stuff and this prophetic ministry, you know what I mean? I just want to have me a natural kind of life, you know. But every time I was had to do that, something would take it apart unless I got involved in this work. So some of us are obligated, are committed to do this work.
Yes, and let me just take a minute here. We're at the top of the hour. We are going to be on here as long as up to another hour if we need to. And if you want to call in, the number is 215-383-5863. Your calls are welcome. If you have questions for Minister Gabri Amlek, Baba G, he's here to answer calls and questions, a source of great wisdom and knowledge here, 215-383-5863. So we're going to continue with another song, another poem, CD on the CD, and this one is the Newtown situation. Tell us a little bit about that one.
This one was probably in my mind one of the most important. I thought they were all important because the 10 songs were actually my 10 commandments. I actually wrote these in Lake Tahoe. Awesome, beautiful place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally accepted from Amari, my producer, who's on a leave of absence right now, brilliant brother, and he's in his, mid-30s, and he kept telling me, you need to do this. And when I finally decided to do it, the Newtown situation really hit me very hard because I saw that. And he was even more revolutionary than I am, so he would be saying, yeah, do it, you know. And so, the Newtown situation reminded me what's the awareness for us to be able to accept karma as a reality. If we ask ourselves, if there's any single word that could describe humanity's dysfunctional state, I would say denial. We just not can see it. And with all due respect, my Caucasian brothers and sisters don't seem to be able to see things clearly. They seem to believe, for example, that of course the Chinese think is foolish, that a medicine that has a side effect is a medicine. Where the Asians explain to us that a medicine with a side effect is not a medicine. You're going to clear my bladder and constipate me. So we see it all, and we see it all around us. So Europeans cannot also understand that showing these children bombing guns and games is causing violence. There's no connection. They will have a trial for or they'll get a bunch of psychologists to find out whether Jeffrey Dahmer is crazy. His deeds in itself show he's crazy. You see what I'm saying? We don't have to have a psychological analysis. Look what he just did. So but what's happening here is that we don't understand that there is an intense connection. Here we have a group of young people, whether it's with the Columbine incident, whether it's with Newtown, that are teething on guns. Why do we not think that that's going to manifest in the behavior? And you know, the interesting point is that in none of these instances did any of these young people kill their dogs or destroy their mechanical electrical devices, because these they hold as being more precious than another human life. So this is all the part. So the Newtown situation is our denial, and you know, so many of our leaders of color have got to be caught up in this same syndrome, this same nullification of our cultural consciousness, and so we're not able to see that the very way in which America carries out its activities is against a multitude of spiritual laws and principles. And what I say also in this particular song allude to is that America has a definite spiritual destiny. America was charted years and years ago as a place where a spiritual experiment was to take place that was going to awaken a race of people, a race made of all races, and that because America is not accepting that, our karmic boomerang comes back to us quicker. And for those of us who have an analytical bent of mind, if you just take the name America apart and dissect it, it comes to the I am race. The I am race. Mm-hmm. A race of people who were in tune with their spiritual essence. That's America's destiny. That's what we should be doing. And this is for all of us, including our entertainers who are paying $1 million, I love Beyonce and JC, for a wedding. We can't afford. We need to be focused because of the fact that we have such an awesome responsibility to the globe, and the weight of the responsibility falls on people of color because our Caucasian brothers and sisters don't have the melanated constitution to even get into it, to even carry it out.
Well, I want to talk piggyback on that after we listen to the song, how we are becoming, as you said, America is the I am race. Basically, we're a melting pot. And we have so many mixed race children now. They're actually, the numbers are increasing so much that we're looking at not so much white, black, or black, but mixed race. So let's pick that up after the song. Here's Newtown Situation, Baba G and the Book of Life.
Ask me what I think about the Newtown situation. My heart is filled to the brink with pain and aggravation. So full of sorrow for hopes and dreams stomped into the ground. I can't begin to feel the loss or suffering of Newtown. Made in America weapons have become a global plight, taking the lives of our own citizens, and most of them non-white. But that's not why our country is in mourning day and night. When a nation that raises kids on guns and horrendous games denies the inhuman behavior, now that's what you call insane. And when were the tragic deaths of America's second class be remembered by massive media coverage and flags flown half-mast? The greatest of all enigmas that really blows my mind is how long will your public remain deaf, dumb, and blind to believe that through a new law with a double-sided face that he and all his loved ones will be forever after safe. Columbine, Trayvon, Newtown all have different names, but when you look behind the headlines, the message is the same. Whether his name comes first or last, Martin's mission must come to pass. A higher evolution, test our constitution, bring out the best and the worst. Whatever our minds are focused on determines which comes first.
And that's really key. Whatever our minds are focused on. When I think of the number of video games and TV shows that have violence, it is absolutely insane. What else, this song just says, what else do you expect when you're filling your minds with violence and guns every day? There's not a day that I don't hear from the TV in this house, guns shooting, people dying, and then people on the video games doing the same thing. It's a collective mind of violence. We actually have a caller, I'm sorry, they hung up. Baba G, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am, of course.
Okay, we had a caller there for a minute. I'm sorry, caller, if you want to call back in, we'll try and get your question or answered, or we'll pick you up. But getting back to what we were talking about earlier with the number of the influence of the guns and the influence of our society. Here we have our callers back. Let me get this person in. We don't want to lose them. We have a caller from 323 area code. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. What's your name? Who is this?
Hi. My name is Mary in Los Angeles.
Mary, can you turn down your radio or your computer, because we're hearing getting an echo.
Yes, and I think I'm
thank you.
By the airport, so there's something else with that, too.
Oh, thank you, Mary, for calling. What's it? You have a question for Baba G?
Yes, I was wondering, how is there a way to get the CD?
Yes, there is. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you go on CDBaby.com.
CDBaby.com.
Yeah, and you put new releases, and in the search window, Baba G, and then
okay.
they'll take you through the motions. The CD online is, I believe, is $14.99, and they'll take you through
okay.
the process, and you can download it. Okay, and then if you will let me know later on, we can arrange to get a hard copy to you. You, of course, will have to pay the postage, okay? But get
okay.
it off. That's cdbaby.com, new releases, Baba G.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for listening and for supporting. God bless you.
Okay. You too.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, so Sister Vieta, how are you?
I'm good. We're still here.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. No, but it's a pleasure and motivating, stimulating to work with you. One of my friends called in and said that she thought it was a very good combination, you know, very good flow.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, well, we are partners. We've been partners for a while, and, you know, from the first time I read your book, The Spiritual Destiny of African Americans, it blew my mind, the knowledge that I gained in that book. And it's funny that I lost that book, and I must have let someone read it, and I couldn't figure out who I gave it to, so I went on a search to find that book, and then that's how I connected with you. So this universe has a creative, beautiful way of putting together people of consciousness who are going to transform this earth. There are so many of us on Facebook. I have the best Facebook friends. I'm deleting a few who are not on the same path, but we have to just stay conscious. CDs like yours are going to help renew people's thinking, renew their mind, and the more we look at, I was saying before we played that song how there are so many mixed race children now being born, and I was looking at a YouTube video about that subject. And these children are, like, puzzled as to why this race thing is such an issue. And so I looked at that and thought, wow, this is great. That's what the divine plan is, to bring forth these mixed-race children who are shining a light of almost innocence about racism. Are you seeing that in your journey, that there's a new group, a new generation coming up who are going to educate and show the way out of this issue of race?
Yeah, this actually comes, one of the major places it comes to is, you know, you've heard of the indigo children.
Yes, I have.
That the government was actually on the lookout for to try to eliminate them. But these are the powerful, high souls that are coming in, you know, to bring their energy and actually flood the earth with this higher consciousness. And one of the unpleasant experiences, or that some people find unpleasant, is that these young children, these old souls, are rebelling against many of the things that the existing social order is pushing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so there's an ongoing attempt to hush the voices of these young people.
But it's not going to happen.
These old souls in young bodies, of course not. And they're coming in such great abundance. This is one of the reasons why the attempt is. You see, the other point is because of the higher frequency energy that's accelerating the earth today, there's also a need for more consciousness and the creation of more and more potent drugs to try to calm this energy down or even to eradicate it. But back to your question about the abundance of old souls coming in. Any kind of that, the reason why it's coming through the mixed races is because, number one, all of the genetic libraries of all the different races are combined in these mixed multi-race children.
Which
is one of the blessings, let's say, of these multi-interracial marriages.
Yes, and I just see it so clearly. I'm going to be a grandmother next month, and my son chose a woman from Colombia who has her ancestors go back to Europe, and then I have ancestors all over the place. So this child, I just see this child is going to light up the world with her consciousness And I'm already praying and expecting that, and I know her name. And so it's going to be – these are exciting times that we're in, and that's why it's important for people to get this CD at cdbaby.com and share it with others, because we need to get the word out anyway, however we can. And we got to get our heads out of cell phones and iPads, and that you have another song about that, don't you?
Right. I just to add that one of the reasons I was able to spend the time on putting this program together is because of the fact that people are getting our services and downloading the CDs. And so anyone out there who's able to get it or encourage someone else to get it is actually helping to move the work forward. Because as you know, Sister Beata and other people out there who are doing holistic work, it's kind of difficult to do the work when you have to worry about the lights getting cut off in the middle of a category.
Right, right.
You know, and so the very practical aspect of those listeners out there, you know, who see some value in the work is to do all that you can to help us move it forward. And from a very practical point of view, see if you can encourage people to get the CDs.
That's right, cdbaby.com. That's where you need to go and purchase the CD, help the call. Purchase two, not just one, purchase two or three so you can share them and get the word out and raise the consciousness of people who are listening to music and CDs and looking at their iPads and their phones.
What people might ask also is the cause of this dysfunctional state of denial. And part of it is because of the illusionary trance of so-called cutting-edge technology, where we actually think that it's a sign of an indication of an advancement. So we have this glare of awesome inventions, but that's actually dulled our senses to the severity of problems that we just mentioned while we sink into an even greater state of oblivion. For example, if you go into the average supermarket where everyone is now relying on the computer to do the adding, and something goes wrong, or you give, and I had this happen several times, give the clerk the exact change after they've already rung it up, they'd be fuddled. They don't know what to do. It happens a lot. I had two young people a few weeks ago who were there counting the change 4 and 5 and 6 times. They just couldn't get it together. So what Jose Aguilis informed us of is that much of the so-called cutting-edge technology is actually preventing our growth. This no other creature needs a GPS to find their way. They instinct, so it's actually killing and numbing our instinctive abilities. So the whole it throws off our whole system. And so people are not really understanding, fascinated with the conveniences of smartphones and the GPS impressive mapping system. We're totally overlooking the health-impairing dangers of these electronic devices. And the personal information.
The personal information.
They're designed to keep records on our activities of our daily lives. So we don't understand, for example, if I sit here and I imagine you coming to my house, Sylviata, with some carrots and some rice cakes and whatever, and I send this, you pick it up and bring that to me. I was married to a sister years ago in New York City, and I would go past the thrift shop every day. And by the end of the week, everything she thought of she wanted, I would have purchased. So these so-called marvelous devices are keeping us from developing and moving to the next plane. In addition to the ailments, the radiation, the destruction of brain cells, you know, I see young children and it just, oh my goodness, I see them playing with these cell phones, and it's been proven that young children
who have more liquid in their brains, okay, while it's developing, are also more sensitive and they're more prone to dysfunctional afflictions than our adults. So the next song, the Super Text Pad, goes into number one, they're interfering with warm, intimate connections with our mates, with people that we care about in our lives. I don't want you to check me on my birthday. Call me on the phone. Or don't text somebody and say that the hope that the Malaysian situation, they're all dead, we can't find them. How about picking up the phone? And so, you know, I don't, and it may seem to some offensive that I place much emphasis on European society, but we have to discontinue following the lead as obvious as it is to many people. Many folks are not there. We have to, the people, the Aboriginal people of the earth, have to, as is happening, have to stand up and take the lead. And so the Super Text Pad going to explain the limitations and the proper place for these devices and what's happening by us not knowing that, because a lot of young people, they're hiding with them because they don't have enough people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they just text you. They won't call you. And most of the, I know many adults that are very frustrated, especially women, because women have a tendency to want hands-on, person-to-person, what's-up, girl kind of activity. And
I, for one, am a very frustrated. I have been very frustrated over this texting versus call me. I have two sons who, these sons would not talk to me on the phone, but they'll answer my text, and I'm like, what's up with that? So I had to really make an adjustment in my mind that this is the way these two people operate, and I had to start learning how to text better. But I think that's got to change. Let's listen to your point, because that definitely has been an issue with me and so many other people. And I noticed in my son's generation, they do the same thing. I will try and call them. They don't answer the phone. But when you text them, you get an immediate text back. I'm like, what's up with that?
One of my good friends, who actually is a texting addict in a sense.
A lot of them out there.
Right, there are people who don't really like human contact. Who actually, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said, ouch, they don't like human contact.
No,
what
no,
are they
I
on
mean,
this
they
earth
rather,
for?
They rather texting. And so, he said to me, you know, he said, there is a built-in hypnotic program, in the texting mechanism that actually programs people, especially our young folks, to become like robots to the whole texting situation. So this is just
Babaji, that started in elementary school. We can go back to the programming. That's a program. You're right about that. That's so insightful. Yes, I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing we understand, two things. Okay, one is that there is a, as I say in another one of the songs that not on for the day, but the other four songs is that one of them talks about the fact that the bombing of birth control centers, the rise of fertility clinics, is because with this multiracial generation coming up, the era of the pure Caucasian is about to end.
Mm-hmm,
and so this
mm-hmm.
is another another reason why the attempt is to minimize, is to push rather the robotic factor.
Because that's why all these robots, because whether the dream comes true or not, in the fantasy far right's imagination, they have on a stelae, a stone structure, a monument in Georgia, I think it's Emerson, Georgia, I can't the exact name, where they actually want to get the global family down to 500 million out of 7 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so robotizing the planet, because what blows me, and I know you feel the same about this, what blows my mind is to pick up a phone and I have 7 menus. I want another human, not 7 menus. Push this for that. You see what I'm saying? But that's all a part of the power, what is it? The global management team's efforts to minimize, eradicate the need for human beings in great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That is, So that's something for us to keep. This is the real deal. You know, many of us don't want to hear that. We want to hear the beauty of this. It's beautiful. But there's
Let's go down that rabbit hole just a bit, because when you mention abortions, that's a deep rabbit hole. I did some research on vaccinations. I did a presentation on vaccinations, the history of it and where it came from. And I discovered that Roe versus Wade was all about the need for more tissue, aborted tissue to supply the vaccination manufacturers. I blew my mind to get that information. Oh my goodness! I'll have to email you the source of the video. It's a 2-hour YouTube teaching that was done from a chiropractor up in Michigan. It's one of those divine circumstances. You say, "Oh, let's look at this," and then all of a sudden, and then I researched it on Google, and sure enough, there's all kinds of information about why Roe v. Wade was passed, because they needed more aborted fetal tissue for the vaccination boom research that was going on back in the 40s and 50s. And so they said, well, let's pass the law so we can have legal abort, because they were getting the abortive tissues from Switzerland or Sweden or somewhere in Europe, and it got to be too expensive. Now, that's just a little rabbit hole journey there. That we are so deceived about programmed. We're so programmed about the way we do things and these abortions. And there's more than one agenda to, like you said, reduce the population and all that. But we could go on and on about that. But let's listen to some super text pad back to texting from that rabbit hole journey.
Insensitive attempts to cut the human factor out. Objections to texting. That's what they're all about. Those elaborate schemes to push robotic dreams, while the cutting edge creates a deeper wedge. Our relationship is nothing like it was before. Like a once familiar voice behind a closing door. As the distance in between is growing more and more, an amber light is warning, be cautious and sure. Beyond the letters and the numbers, I can't see the essence of the messages you're texting me. Promises are broken with no thought of the cause. Just send them a checks and chalk up the loss. When people's skills are not in vogue, some think it's cool to be a rogue. The ethics code of yesteryear is something we no longer hear. On special times we used to share, you send checks to say you care. It can't replace your presence here. It's not the same without you, dear. What frees you up and makes you glad takes me down, makes me sad. Your name is Juice, it's my bad. All it does is make me mad, since face-to-face is out of place in so-called modern times. Asking you to hang with me is now a major crime. A one-way deal that makes me feel like sitting down on a dime. So tell me now, are we for real, or is it all in my mind? I'm not concerned about your food to plate or future plans for a maybe date. Don't want to hear about your multitask or Bible quotes about being last when there's no excuse to make sense to say and a lack of courage is in my way. Whatever it is, come with me. My super text pack will save the day. My super text pack will save the day. My super text pack will save the day. My super text pack will save the day.
Yeah, that's the deception. My super text pad will save the day. And we have, you know, I did a show on EMFs and the dangers, and I came to this realization that if your temple, your house, your body is strong and full of raw foods, and your mind is clear, and you're meditating, and you, then these EMFs, these things don't harm you as much. But when we're talking about children eating all this sugar and putting all this junk food in their bodies, they're the ones who are going to suffer the most from all this technology.
Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Oh yes. I'm in total agreement with it, you know. I think that, and that's not the consideration. There's not enough awareness of the harm that it, you know, that is doing to young people. And as we were saying early on, we need to begin to understand the influences. For example, our young people don't have any idea these days of which way is up, you know, which way is right, you know, which way is in tune with spiritual laws and principles and natural laws and principles, because we don't have the proper guidance. And since we've been conditioned to turn our minds and our hearts away from the spiritual teachings of the ancients, then we're really lost. And you know, so that is another reason why we were inspired to put this album together.
Yes, and it's a beautiful creation of our times and the need that we have to rise and ascend on the tree of life, because so many are suffering. And I think the suffering is maybe what's going to wake some people up. There's so much suffering going on with cancer and leukemia and children especially. I'm amazed at all the sicknesses. A lot of that is due to vaccination damage, and the suffering just may be, I think the intention of the suffering, allowing all this suffering and this, like you said, this karmic plan of energy is to wake them up. How else are they going to wake up unless they suffer a little bit, unfortunately?
Well, one of the questions that we talked about early on, rather, ideas, was a question that many people are asking is, how do we transform or ascend in this age, this phase of the new age? And one of the ways is for us to really be clear on the era that we're moving through. And and many folks will say, oh, you know, you place too much focus on what needs to be fixed. But that's actually what people are not really clear on. We think everything's hunky-dory. And we're not really, many of us do. And it's just like there's certain things that you know as a nutritionist that people put into the system that the average person would think, oh, what's wrong with a little piece of pork every now and then, okay? Not understand how detrimental that is. And
well,
so
even something like whole wheat bread, that's more a deception, big deception, because that wheat is where it's how it's grown and all that. You're right. It's being aware of all that deception.
That's something that you. What else did you have to say about wheat?
The whole wheat bread and the GMO grains that they're using, and then you find a loaf of whole wheat bread that has 30 ingredients. That's not even food. That's a bunch of chemicals. So, and you think you're nourishing because it says nature's own whole wheat bread, and you're eating that up, and you're getting a big belly, and you have headaches, and you don't understand why you're not healthy because you're eating whole wheat bread, whole grain bread. But when you have 30 ingredients on any boxed product, that's not really food. That's chemicals.
Yeah, my rule of thumb is that the more ingredients they on it, I leave it alone.
Yeah,
the less
exactly.
ingredients on anything, I'll give it a shot.
Right.
But one problem that we have is we are not understanding that we, and this is a topic for probably another program, but we're not
mm-hmm.
understanding that the earth is in end times. Doesn't mean the negative ending, finalization. It means that it's graduation time, that it's time for us to move. The higher frequency energies are striving to push us up to a new level of being. And so that's why the planet is moving so fast. And so we need to really be clear on what time it is. So that's one of the, and we need to identify the purpose of life, the requirements of the current age, which is with this intense acceleration, and what the specific agenda is of the human family, the human race. We're not doing that yet. We also need to understand the karmic significance of the African Caucasian's relationship and what we can do to harmonize what people of color can do to harmonize race relations. And, of course, one of the main things is to stop following their unnatural lead. So you and I were talking about that early on and felt that's something that people really need to be clear. What time is it? And what do we need to do to adjust that? Like, for example, nowadays everybody's busy, busy, busy. Well, we're busy, busy because we're in this higher frequency acceleration mode.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us are busy doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're not busy doing the business of the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need again. Go ahead, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I listening to you talk about high frequency energy that's pushing us up, maybe that's why what this all this new technology, these cell towers, the internet, the Wi-Fi, everywhere you go now, Wi-Fi is available. So you've got all this EMF activated in a interesting, strange way. Maybe that's the universe's tool to push and to move us forward as we feel all this vibration and this energy around us. Those of us who have the assignment to ascend are going to be doing so because in some strange way I think all this frequency EMFs are pushing us to that place of taking better care of our bodies and being more conscious, more alert with our children, connecting to our grandchildren eye to eye, our children to our brothers and sisters, connecting, and those are the being and doing that's going to protect us from all this high frequency technology.
One of the major effects on the planet or the global family is that the electromagnetic frequencies have a deeper effect on melanated people.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the ailments that we have were several things. One thing is that one factor is that those people who have terminal diseases is becoming even more intense.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we were told that we actually have developed a new DNA strand, and that to accommodate the high frequency energies, and that people of color, particularly women, are more sensitive and open to this higher frequency energies. And, of course, the best way to deal with that is to work on spiritual evolution.
Absolutely.
But for those of us who have these problems, there'll be more dialysis, there'll be more stress, there'll be more nervous breakdowns, more heart attacks, because the frequency is up. For example, when I was in D.C. years ago, the landlord brought in a higher frequency energy, and so they had to change all the wiring.
Mm-hmm.
So people who were falling out with strokes and all these kind of diseases is because they haven't replaced their wiring system with a more solid cable, so to speak.
Well, that speaks especially of our own vessel, this human body, replacing it. I love that. Replacing the wiring that you were born with a higher frequency. Spiritually evolving gives each and every one of us a better wiring system, because as a friend of mine teaches all the time, is when you bring a morning and evening offering to the heavens, when you read about the Hebrew, when you study Kabbalah, that's a higher frequency. You're rewiring this body that you were born with. You were given the two. We're given the cells when we're born. We're connected. We're knit together in our mother's womb. We've got the equipment, and now the rewiring is spiritual. We got to evolve spiritually to be protected from all these the enemy's darts and all the EMFs and all the energy that's so high right now. So I can't believe it that 2 hours have passed, and I am just so grateful for all that you've shared with us. And so you want to give us kind of a final word on where are we going from here with conscious raps and spoken words and the Book of Life. We want to remind our listeners that you can go to cdbaby.com and buy a couple of copies of the CD and make a donation to the purpose and project that Babaji is promoting, consciousness raising and educating us all on how to evolve. So I'll let you have the last word, Babaji.
Well, cdbaby.com, new releases, Babaji, that's one of the best ways in which you can support, our listeners can support the work. I really want to see them get something for their contribution, in exchange for their contributions. If we really are clear on our desire, our need to survive and move to the next level, then we won't want to really tune into the fact that we are in this accelerated energy phase. And the best way that we can bring our consciousness up and help other people that we love is to be clear on what 2014 and for the next 4 or 5 years, what this energy actually represents. And so the reason we're seeing more negativity on the planet, more people losing it, is because of the fact that there's this high frequency energy that's either going to take us up or take us the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by our examples is what we would set the greatest motivation and inspiration. And I want to thank you once again, Sister Viola, for the years that we have known each other and shared information and encouragement. And thank you also to your listening audience. If they want to get in touch with me, they can call me on 404-441-7248, 404-441-7248. And my website is Christ Bodybuilders, bodybuilders.com. And I'm always ready and willing to share, do workshops, and continue to spread the word. So God bless all of you who have taken the time to listen and to be supportive of Sister Beata and myself and all those other folks out there striving to enhance their consciousness.
Oh, thank you so much, Yahuwah. Bless you and keep you safe. And we're going to go out with one of my favorite songs, Indie Ari, to remind you why Babaji and I come together is because we are light, and we have to shine this light wherever we go so that the earth can rise and prosper and be in perfect health. So thank you for listening. Have a beautiful week, and shalom.
God bless.
I am divine.